Support for Tested comes from Duke Health, reminding listeners that COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, and can protect individuals and others from the virus. Together, communities can end this pandemic. Find sites for a free vaccine at dukehealth.org.
When we don't use harm reduction methods, people die. When we insist that people, well, I'm not going to work with you until you are willing to stop using all drugs. I mean, what are we? People come to get help and they say, I can't stop using drugs. And then we say, you better stop using drugs if you want help. Like, we got to do better, man.
This is Tested from WUNC, a look at how we're responding to the day's challenges in North Carolina and the South. I'm Jason DeBruin.
My name's Louise Vincent. I work with North Carolina Survivors Union and Urban Survivors Union. We are a drug user union, which means we work with people who actively use drugs and try to provide harm reduction services and engage in social justice work.
North Carolina Survivors Union, or NCSU, runs out of a single-story red brick building in the south of downtown Greensboro. It's a place where people who use drugs can get access to clean syringes and other tools to take illicit substances. This is known as the harm reduction model of treating substance use disorder. It meets people where they are, and its strategies aim to decrease the negative consequences of recreational drug use without requiring abstinence.
So my name is Tanya Russell. I'm our harm reduction specialist. Welcome to NCSU. So the kits are up here. We ask them if they want to grab a kit. Inside of our kit has everything you need. It has sterile water, has alcohol pads, so you can clean the area that you're going to inject to, Band-Aids, tourniquets.
The harm reduction strategy is simple. Allow people to safely use drugs. Even if they're illegal, this prevents the spread of other diseases like hepatitis C or HIV.
We also have smoking utensils for people that are smokers. And then we also have snort kits for people who are snorters. So we try to be a little bit more diverse for drug use. We want to tap all areas, not just for injection drug users. So we ask the participants to grab this. We also have condoms here, and we also have lube. And I do ask that everybody mask up when they come in, you know, trying to stay as safe as possible.
The work happening in harm reduction circles is more important than ever. Drugs like heroin are now routinely laced with extremely potent substances like fentanyl and xylazine. And increasingly, those substances are making their way into drugs like cocaine, ecstasy, and black market pills as well. This has driven an enormous spike in overdose ER visits and deaths. According to North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services data, there were 4,000 overdose deaths in North Carolina in 2021. That's up some 50% since 2019. It's possible things were headed in this direction anyway, but the pandemic helped spur it on.
It was a simple issue of supply and demand.
That's Nick Matthews, co-founder of Stillwater Behavioral Health, who helps people recover from substance use disorder. In many ways, the market for illicit drugs behaves just like any other market. When COVID-19 caused a huge decline in international travel, it became harder to get drugs into the country. That's when xylazine, a powerful sedative, and fentanyl flooded the market.
Fentanyl is wildly powerful. And if you have an addiction to opiates, one of the first things that you realize is that tolerance is a real thing, and that what you are using immediately stops working. As soon as you get acclimated to it, you know, most of us will start at a low grade opiate, you know, a Vicodin or something of that nature. And it will very quickly progress as soon as your body gets acclimated to it. It progresses and builds and builds. And that's how people find themselves on full blown heroin. But even full blown heroin IV stops working. We call that getting well instead of getting high, because you're in withdrawal, and then you will take the same amount of heroin that you took yesterday and you won't feel high, but you just feel normal.
There's a useful way to protect against fentanyl. Test your drugs to see if they're laced with it. Clinics around the state are passing out test strips so people can see if fentanyl is mixed in with their heroin or cocaine. In addition, the North Carolina Survivors Union Clinic in Greensboro has an infrared spectrometer which can run a precise scan on any batch of drugs. Don Jackson operates the machine at NCSU.
Okay. Password.
He wipes down the crystal at the center of the table where the drug samples are poured. The machine is about the size of a large lunchbox. The infrared beam shoots out of something that looks a bit like a microscope in high school biology. It takes about 5 to 10 minutes to boot up, run security checks, and reset itself to analyze a new sample. Jackson unfolds a red piece of paper that contains an off-white powder.
I don't even need that much.
He pours a small amount of the heroin sample onto the spectrometer's table and swivels down the laser.
You know, need some music. Can't be testing without music.
The infrared spectrometer is connected to a laptop that will give a reading. Mary Figgett is a doctoral student at UNC Chapel Hill studying epidemiology. She also co-leads the UNC drug checking program. She sometimes helps Jackson with the testing and describes what's going on.
Yeah, so it captures it. It takes about like 25 different scans, and then it'll consolidate all that information, and then it'll output onto here, and then we'll do the analysis.
On the computer screen, two thin lines begin to trace up and down. They look kind of like peaks and valleys on a stock chart on a Wall Street analyst's computer. The reading gives Don and Mary information about what's in the sample.
Yeah. Try to match some peaks.
So this right here.
Looks like it might be fentanyl.
Yep.
The lines matched almost perfectly, giving Don and Mary a good indication that this sample probably contains fentanyl, something that didn't really surprise either of them.
Right here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it.
Folks were not prepared for the level of fentanyl that was out, it has been put out into the street. I'm Michelle Mathis, and I'm the executive director and co-founder of Olive Branch Ministry. And I also serve as board chair for the North Carolina Harm Reduction Coalition.
Michelle Mathis and Louise Vincent don't work at the same location, but both use very similar harm reduction strategies to help people with substance use disorder.
Olive Branch Ministry is faith-based harm reduction that was founded in 2012 by myself and my wife, Karen Lowe. And we officially entered the arena of harm reduction in 2012 and then left both of our jobs in 2018 to do this work full-time.
There seems to be so much death and so much despair in our community that right now a lot of the work we're doing is just life-saving work.
We know that fentanyl has is now in crystal meth, it's in cocaine, it's in multiple types of heroin, it's being pressed into pills. So we're seeing a lot of folks who were using, for example, crystal meth, who are now quote-unquote dope sick when they try to quit crystal meth. And it's not because of the crystal meth, it's because they're now, their body is dependent on the opioid.
Our drug supply is so absolutely contaminated that we are seeing people come in with skin and soft tissue infections that are the worst I've ever seen, that will bring you to tears. That to just see them are devastating, to see what they're doing to people's bodies. And when we think of numbers, of people that are affected by substance use and opioid use disorder, we're not counting the number of people that are dying of infections and endocarditis, and those are big numbers.
We have what we have coined as sleepy meth. So if we talk about meth, and it applies to the cocaine as well, but sleepy meth, where, you know, you inject the meth and you get a quick bump and then you fall out, or you simply go to sleep for hours. And people will say, well, you're not supposed to do that on meth. I don't understand. It's a bad batch. And I'm like, no, honey, did you test it? Did you test it for fentanyl?
I really do believe that having employment is overdose prevention. Being housed and having access to health care is overdose prevention. You know, all of these things that affect people so negatively end up being part of what causes this overdose crisis to continue and really just devastate our community. We are seeing more and more drug users find their voice, but that's not something every person can do. The more privilege a person has, the more able a person is to talk about their substance use or their substance use disorder. I mean, there's nothing about being Black in America that suggests that it's safe to talk about being a drug user. You know, the way we criminalize Black and brown communities and the way we have used the drug war to really harm people of color.
Olive Branch Ministries, where Michelle Mathis works, is faith-based, but it still operates the harm reduction model. And that's not always the case with religious-based centers.
For example, I don't necessarily want to see a group say, come to Bible study and we will feed you, right? It should be, we will feed you, period. Or, you know, listen to a sermon and we will give you clothes. Or you can come and stay here for a day shelter, but you have to listen to Christian music and listen to or watch Christian videos. You build relationships with those individuals so that you know how to ask, you know, has your dog had their puppies yet? How's your mama and them? How's your injection use going? Do you need extra treatment on that wound on your arm? How can we serve you today? We also have to be willing to meet the faith community where it is and understand that not everybody's going to want to have a syringe exchange in the fellowship hall on Wednesday night after Bible study, right? So we don't have those expectations, but we do expect people to embrace fellow beloveds in a way that is non-stigmatizing, non-judgmental, and simply is full of love.
Importantly, both Mathis and Vincent believe it's possible to stem the tide of these overdose deaths. But it requires a continued shift away from stigmatizing people with substance use disorder and instead a better understanding that addiction is a brain disease similar to diseases like asthma or cancer.
If I wake up in the morning and I don't have Pepsi in my refrigerator, the first thing I do is I go and I grab a Pepsi from the gas station on my way to work. And that is not an exaggeration because in my mind, I've got to have my Pepsi to start my day. I'm not comparing Pepsi to substance use disorder, but what I'm saying is for many people, that's coffee or it's a donut or it's sugar, caffeine. Our brains are rewired for that. And when you try to quit using that, even something as simple as sugar or caffeine, we go through, you know, irritable, painful times. But that's not seen as a moral failing. But when someone puts opioids into their system and their brain is rewired, that is seen as a moral failing.
Thank you.
there's a way through this, and there's a way to do this. And getting rid of all the drugs on the planet isn't going to make us live in a utopia. Drugs aren't evil. There's a million different ways that we can treat people. But when we treat them with dignity and respect, it changes things. And it changed everything for me.
We know that, according to the CDC, that people who engage in harm reduction services are 5 times more likely to enter into a state of abstinence, and people who engage in syringe services programs are three times more likely to quit injecting.
Canada and other places have figured out how to do safe supply, and it's a real shame that we have no interest in moving that direction in the United States, or that we care so little for people that use drugs that we would prefer watch them die, suffer with skin and soft tissue infections, harm themselves in irreversible ways, because we can't stand the idea of offering safe supply to our to people that are struggling with substance use disorder. But we know it works in other places.
That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Jason DeBruin.